Precious secret kept for the ages. Precious truth kept quiet in his heart. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening to Gen Talks. This is episode 19, and this is called Christian Comparison. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
19, I can't believe that we've already done 19 episodes, almost 20.
That's just the conversations we record.
Yep. Not to mention, I think last Monday I was at Katie's house for 4 hours talking. So, when her husband got home, I was like, I guess I should probably leave her house and let her talk to her family.
My kids all drive now.
So they were all gone.
They're a bit self-sufficient.
Yep. And they're just trying to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. So I just sat and kept you company for 4 solid hours.
I'm so happy. Kids come in, I'm like, okay, somebody else likes to talk to me. Y'all might keep walking and
likes to talk to me. Yes.
One time, Fletcher, recently, I said something to my husband. I said, you don't laugh at me anymore. And Fletcher goes, because you're not funny. And I'm like, oh, that was quick.
That was so quick. Didn't even have to think about it. That's the thing with the kids. Yep. That's how.
I mean, how you really feel. Like, yep. Other people think I'm funny.
Oh, that's good you're not. That's hilarious.
And he just rolls his eyes and walks on.
And Fletcher's her youngest. Yes. So
he's 16. They're 16, 18, and 20.
So close together. I love that.
We have a little window where we've got the 2-year gap because 20 is about to be 21.
Yep. Okay.
And then the other two are only like year apart for a short window too. Like they were 16, 17 for a little while. And then she turned 18 in February.
My brother and I do that too. We're 2 years apart for a second, and then I turned and we're like 3 years apart. But
we held her back in like first grade when we switched schools.
Oh, okay.
So they're only a grade apart.
Oh, nice.
Which is nice.
That is really nice.
They actually like enjoy each other's.
Okay,
school.
That's what I was gonna ask if they're like friends.
They don't
at
hang
school.
Out with the same friend group or anything, but he always wants her to go shopping with him.
Aw.
It's really sweet. And she's got very sassy demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, confident is the right
yeah,
word.
Yeah, she has a strong personality.
Like she's not
presence.
Swayed. She's going to be good or bad.
Yep.
And so far, it's made some really great choices. Not that she hasn't made bad ones, mm-hmm. but when she gets on to him, I'll listen to her in the other room. And I'm like, if I talk to him like that, all he would hear is wah, 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 wah.
But he listens to her.
He listens to mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, don't do this, don't do that. I'm like, oh, you're so scary.
He thinks she's like the cool mm-hmm. older sister, though.
Sure,
so
he really does.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, keep telling him.
Well, she is the cool older sister.
Well, and I listened, and I was like, you gave him good advice. She goes, well, I know. I mean, it's easy. And I was like, well, just keep telling him that stuff.
Yep, do whatever you got to do. Yep. No, she is really, really great. I told her that we were going to go get coffee soon. That would be very weird to get coffee with your daughter, you know, like.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That has been one of my prayers forever is that my kids have somebody else mm-hmm. speaking Jesus to them mm-hmm. besides me.
Yeah. No, that's so true. Because they need that for mm-hmm. sure. We were going to go to the baseball game last week, but it got canceled.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, that'll be another.
Caleb's game.
Yeah. At her school
Did
at Randolph.
JV, that night when he said we won.
He won 2 that day, I think.
That's awesome.
Yes, because when I left you, I think I can't remember what it was. He finally won. My fiance has been struggling with his baseball team this season, so it's nice when he actually gets
Coaching
to win.
Coaching is definitely ministry, I think.
It is,
He has such an opportunity, and he has such a heart for it.
Yeah.
To pour into the next generation.
Yeah, that is definitely like his calling, and so I keep telling them that. I'm like, I know it's frustrating and it's not fun to lose, but that's not the purpose behind it. So
but some of the first places people really, mm-hmm. you know, experience God is through some of their coaches looking back on them.
Yep. And with
like listen to them.
FCA at schools and things like that, that's like the only exposure some of those kids get to Jesus ever. And it's at school. So,
yeah,
and
that's awesome.
I mean, I went the other day to his FCA and one of the girls, she's so, so sweet. She had pretty much like drugged one of the guys there, and he was like, "Oh, she made me come," and we were like, "Well, good." Like she went and picked him up at his house and everything. I mean, she was
whatever gets him there. Mm-hmm. I mean, seeds are planted. Mm-hmm. You know, it. No matter what, his word never comes back void.
No, you could tell that kid like got something. I mean, he was like joking around, but you could tell he got something, and I was kind of thinking, I wonder if he gets this anywhere else.
Well, God's pursuit of us is so much bigger than our motivation, mm-hmm. like our yep. heart's desire behind anything.
That's so true. So
he's hunting us down.
Even when we're not so trying. Bad. Thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we've just kind of been all over the place, but
okay, so
that's how we usually
why
talk.
Why are we talking about this? Like, what spurred this conversation?
Yeah, so Christian comparison. I couldn't decide if I wanted to say Christian comparison or comparative Christianity.
Comparatives to me, for some reason, sounds like a psychology word. Yeah, or like
it's too
comparative
like,
anatomy. What is that? Yeah. That's some sort of science term.
See, and it just sounds like ugh. So yeah. Christian, starting it with the word Christian is makes it a little comparison. Softer, I guess, but.
Can you relate? Christian comparison?
Christian comparison.
I feel like anyone could.
I feel like anyone could. I feel like no one talks about it because it's like taboo. Like,
it's
oh,
ugly.
We
it is ugly.
Comparison is ugly. It's the thief of joy. And we think, oh, well, when I'm at church, that's not happening. Or it's not supposed to. I think that's what we tell ourselves. Like, well, I'm not supposed to compare myself at church because that's wrong. And it is wrong. You shouldn't do it. But we're human and it happens. And I've just found myself lately, like, instead of in my head and whatever, like, weird world I live in, instead of comparing myself to other people, which I still do that often, too, but I remember, like, okay, I'm focused on God and serving God and church, and that's, like, where I live a lot of my life is at church and with church people and with friends my age who are in church and et cetera, et cetera. So then I think the enemy goes from me comparing myself to other people to, okay, well, now I'm just going to have you compare yourself to people at church and other Christians. It just can go from like, oh, she can like handle this better because she's closer to God. And I'll compare myself like, well, I know that she gets up and has her quiet time every single morning at the same time and is like very disciplined and I struggle with that. Or even like, very, very trivial things like, well, she always dresses really cute at church. You know, it's just like really dumb things, but it just.
The enemy will use anything.
He just uses anything.
To
yeah.
distract us.
And.
And steal our joy. Because he's like, if I can't steal your soul, so you're already saved, he's like, at least I can make you a pinched face, miserable Christian, or try to, so that people look at you going, I don't want your Jesus. Because look at, and I've thought about that just when I'm a grump and I'll catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and I'm like, well, who would want that? Jesus.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
That's so true. He's going to use you, even though you're already saved, he's going to use you
whatever
to make sure no one else gets saved.
To steal the joy that nobody can touch. It's not supposed to be able to unless we allow it.
Unless we allow it with things like that. And so, I think I see a lot of people kind of like, maybe they don't talk about it or maybe sometimes they do, but just comparing themselves. I know like even recently, and we talked about this last week, but it's easy to get like, it's easy to have like cliques and stuff, especially in big churches. And I have seen like several different people that I know being very like offended or feeling very like left out.
And don't
groups.
You think that that is the nature of the beast though? Is that
there's
really not sometimes, I mean, clicks, but people start, if they get offended, the enemy kind of gets and digs in there that people start assuming there is.
Yeah.
And so they almost become their own worst enemy. It's like self-fulfilled prophecy. Like
right.
I'm going to be rejected. They've already rejected me. So they pull themselves out. And it was never that way in the beginning, you know, in the first place.
Yeah, because, like, for me, like, I told you this, like, me and my fiancé, I don't really think we have a clique. I think there's, like, a group that we hang out with a lot because we're a similar age, similar season, you know, things like that. But we will hang out with anybody, you know what I mean? And, like, the couple we're doing premarital counseling with, they're older, and, like, we hang out with them. Like, there are several different groups, I guess.
And social media makes it worse.
Social media makes it worse because when
they
someone
see pictures only.
Right, because there are people that I'm having coffee with or something that I'm not posting pictures with, but we're hanging out. But if I post a picture from like a party that we host for a bunch of different people, then it's like, well, there's a click and I didn't get invited and I've been there. Like I've
I've been on both sides of the two. I've started to make assumptions and then I have to catch myself going, mm-hmm. stop.
Mm-hmm.
That it distracts you from any joy that you're having with the Lord or really anybody else.
Yeah.
The people that are right in front
of you. Yeah, the people that are right in front of you. That's so true. It can, doing that can definitely, obviously, most importantly, distract us from God, but it can. It can distract us from people who are already here, and we have to love on them instead of wishing, well, I wish that we would hang out. I've literally said the sentence to my fiance, well, I wish that we would hang out with them. Like, why don't we hang out with them? And he's like, you don't like hanging out with me? Or you don't like hanging out with our friends? You know, he's like, we hang out with. I think I just see some people and think they are really good Christians. You know, like they're really great.
And the minute we start to have those thoughts, we need to say, okay, just shut that down. That's not, because they're human and they've got their own thing. I've got my own thing. And we should never elevate someone to a really good Christian.
Good Christian, because that's not.
I remember my mom saying that one time when she is a lovely Christian. And I was like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, define what's in your
head.
A
lovely Christian.
Yeah.
I heard a really good podcast the other day. I'm going to be looking it up because I can't remember his name. But it was Annie F. Downs' That Sounds Fun podcast. Mm-hmm. It was her newest one. And, ooh, yeah, I wonder if you've...
I've been listening to a lot of books lately, audio books. And so I've gotten a little behind on my podcast.
It was Adam Weber.
Ooh,
and he wrote a book called... and I'll look that up, too. But he is a pastor in South Dakota, and he's talked about how, like, your pastors are people. Mm-hmm. They're not God. They're people. And so the moment you start putting them on a pedestal, like, that's why, he said, that's why people let people, like, pastors having affairs or pastors, like, doing different things that they shouldn't be doing. That's why people let that deter them from God.
Right.
And he's like, I make sure to tell my, my church congregation all the time what I'm dealing with and I'm messing up, and to let them know how real I am.
Sweetest just introduction the other day. It was at Elevation Church, and they had Perry Noble, still one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But he had a fall, I guess is the way, and I feel like he called it that, so I'm not, but and he got wrapped up in alcohol, but he wasn't able to share a struggle. And so by the time it kind of came crashing down in the media, he went and he got help. And so this was kind of his first time back. I don't know if he's still at his church, if they took him back in. But Elevation Church, Stephen Furtick is one of his close friends. Mm-hmm. And Perry Noble was one of the wind beneath his wings that helped him. And pastors need each other so that they do have a safe place to unfold in front mm-hmm. of. But he introduced Perry before Perry gave the message that day, and it was just the sweetest friendship mm-hmm. and grace laced mercy, the way that we should treat everybody.
Yeah.
So if y'all can find that, you can go to Elevation's podcast, and it should say, I believe, you'll see Perry Noble is the one giving the message. But it was a fantastic message on just forgiveness and just their friendship, really, the introduction was beautiful.
I'll have to go listen to that for sure. Adam Weber is at Embrace Church.
It's a hugging church.
Yeah, I liked that name. And his book is called Talking with God. So he said it's, I can't remember what the subtitle is. I'll try to find that too. But I think it's something like what to say to God when you don't know what to say. He was like, if prayer comes difficult to you, here it is. What to say when you don't know how to pray. That's what it is. So Talking with God, and we can put that in the show notes. Katie can put that in the show notes. Katie does all our show notes, just so you know. So I am pretty much useless when it comes to that. Yeah, we are
Grace.
Taking the journey before the people. Yes. Katie always says that, so you guys just have to deal with this. But, yeah, I really liked when he said that on the podcast, just about making sure that you don't elevate people. And I think our pastor, Chris Hodges, does a good job of that, too.
He really does.
I think people do. I hear people and see people saying, oh, my gosh, he's just amazing and this and this and this. And he's the first to say, I'm not amazing, actually. Like, God
he's
is amazing.
He's completely human. Yeah. And the church is not built on him.
No.
The church is built on Christ.
And he makes that very evident that, like, God gave him the vision, and God sent people to make it happen.
And then if he was, and he repeatedly, he's like, if I was gone tomorrow, the church and the gospel will still go on.
Yep.
And
it's not, it's not about him. Yeah. Yeah.
And that, I do think it's pretty cool about the fact that we go to a church that's, we go to a location but watch it on a screen. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever think about it anymore. And I do think that it's a neat example of taking a pastor off of a pedestal, that it's not in, about him. Like, if it's a different pastor that's even there or a guest speaker,
yeah,
it's about the gospel message.
Yeah, because he's not even there every week. So it's not like his platform.
No.
He, I mean,
it is truly about, and the community is your small groups and the people that you do life with.
Yep.
And when in the hospital, who's going to show up? The Big C Church. Mm-hmm. And yes, a lot of them would be from my home church. But I can tell you that the people that would be in the hospital with me go to a lot of different churches.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm thankful that we have lots of different kinds of churches because people are spoken to differently. Mm-hmm. And we get so caught up in personal preferences. We just need to remember that he's wherever he's invited, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, Katie wrote a really great blog this week, and she's going to kind of talk from that, but it was called Jesus is Missing. But it's
and I actually revamped, like, I changed it a little bit and called it Missing the Messiah when I did it.
Okay.
Just a little bit for our city on a hill, mm-hmm. which is the community site that and what was the basis of that, and I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but it was that passage where
we didn't on here. We talked about it off of
that okay. Jesus' own parents lost him, and they were in the middle of a religious tradition, and I'll just read it. Straight from the Bible. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. But after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers, but when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. So my question was, if his parents missed him at first, do you think it's possible that we could miss Jesus in the midst of religious hubbub and celebration? And I think that we do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And a friend of mine, that she does our City on a Hill too, she said, especially with Easter coming,
mm-hmm.
all the different ways, just when we have Easter and Christmas, that we can get sidetracked or derailed.
Yeah.
And so when I went on this one, I kind of, when she brought that up, I went back and I think it was the last one that I added that made me think. It's, let's see. I said, there's nothing wrong with Easter egg hunts and Christmas trees. They're beautiful and fun, but we miss the Messiah when we let these symbols replace the cross and the empty tomb.
That's so good.
And it's replace. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, don't go cold turkey and take down your Christmas yeah. trees and Santa Claus, you know, it's when we let them replace it. And it's fine if you do that too, if you don't have that tradition. But it's, we get so caught up in saying somebody else is doing it wrong that yeah. we're not even thinking about Jesus anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's like Katie said in the blog too, it's, we can't say that he's not, we can't get so caught up in, oh, it's a mega church, so it's got this, this, and this, but it still has Jesus. But on the flip side, we can't say, well, it's a small church, they don't have this, this, and this, which I catch myself doing just from, you know, leaving my home church from my hometown, very small Church of Christ church. So I have a hard time going from my church now, going back. And me and my brother talked about this the other day. It's hard to go back and sit there because it's so different. And it, I have my opinions. Like, I'm
and
like,
we don't this realize needs to happen, it sometimes until... Right. You know, we realize we're distracted, we're not listening, and so,
yeah.
like, for the older people, back in the days of potlucks, do you even know
what I did?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I said, ticked at the table who forgot the deviled eggs for the potluck, we miss the weeping widow alone in the corner,
mm-hmm.
is the people that are your Marthas, or just, yeah. they're so service-oriented that totally went into it with the right motivation, mm-hmm. when they start looking around going... Everybody didn't do what they were supposed to do, that we miss those opportunities
yep.
to minister to people. Yeah, mm-hmm. to love on people.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of this was too busy judging the hand raisers and the loud music. We missed the altar calls calling our name.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, people do that. And on the flip side was assuming that hymns, pulpits, and organs are outdated and irrelevant. We miss the message of Christ that is readily available when we seek him over personal preference. It doesn't matter what setting mm-hmm. we're in. We will find Christ when we look for him, because he says, seek me and you'll find me.
Right. No matter where.
Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't, you know, speak to our love language, which our favorite kind of music, mm-hmm. or they've got on choir robes, we would be wrong to say, nah, this isn't going to work for me.
Right. Because it is working for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, I think another area I have kind of seen in my own life and other people with comparison, Christian comparison, a lot of these, I guess, famous Christians, you know, like people who have ministries and they have
places that they didn't set out to go. And that's right. Really the humble heart behind that is the people that, and you hear Christine Kane say all the time, mm-hmm. like, you don't hear the 20 years that she spent in the wilderness, like,
right.
in a youth group, that, mm-hmm. you know, that you don't just step onto that.
And, you don't and just you step onto the stage. You
don't want somebody on that's their goal.
That's their motive.
Yeah.
You can't set out for it to do that. But I hear people say things, and I've said them too, but about those, like the Christine Canes of the world. I think she's one of my very, very favorites.
Me too.
But saying like, oh, wow, like, that must be nice. That's like one of my phrases. I know I say it and some of my friends do too, but well, must be nice. Like for anyone I see on like their Instagram or something. But when I like see someone like that, like, oh, I know that they get to just like write books and travel, and that must be nice. That's all I want to do, you know?
And she said this, but where I was in the Bible yesterday morning made me think of this same premise was, okay, Moses is giving like his final talk to all the Israelites mm-hmm. before he leaves. And he said, you know, as we were forging along in the wilderness, the Lord did not clear everything out or the wild animals would have taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started thinking, it made me think of how God, he prepares our character in the private yeah. place. Because otherwise your calling would destroy you if your character is not prepared.
That's so good.
Just the physical side of that, like the wild animals I thought in my life, like if God just showed everything and said, okay, I'm going to just
clear it out
there, mm-hmm. you know, you're not ready.
No.
So let me do one step at a time with you. So by the time you get to wherever I'm taking you, and it might be that you die completely in the secret place. And is that enough? And
yep.
I really, yeah, mm-hmm. it is.
Yep,
that's so good. As long as you're with me.
As long as you're with me.
You're not going, I'm not going.
That's so good. That's true. Yeah, and we have to remember that, like, these, like Lisa Turkhurst. I mean, I've read a little bit of, like, her journey, and it didn't start out like what it is now, like Proverbs 31 Ministries. I think I read something about her, like, in a radio station, like, going live from a radio station or something, and no one was listening. And, you know, it was like she never imagined.
And this... I mean, I went to Costa Rica on a mission trip, and the missionary or the man that kind of is over that ministry, the way that he started and the way his heart was just passionately in love with the Lord, we had a family member who I feel like he was wrongly charged of something, and he was put in a maximum security mm-hmm. prison. And he ended up getting killed in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And his heart turned to the Lord for prison ministry at a very young age. And some of the first sermons that he ever were literally at the prison, and nobody's listening to him. Like, I yeah. think people were throwing things at him.
Wow.
But he's like, I know this is what God's called me to. And that was his private secret place with the Lord, going, I'm gonna teach you and raise you up where you think no one's listening to you
mm-hmm.
Before you take the journey before the people.
Yeah.
That's a really gift.
Amazing. It is. Yeah, because, imagine that you do start and the first place you preach, like if you were him, to thousands of people. Well, I mean,
as bloggers or just writers in general, yeah. all the years, which I still write in my journal, there's times I'm like, you asked me to do this. You know, I didn't want to write on a blog. I'm perfectly fine with my journals.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I was being obedient, and I do feel like he's saying, so is your litmus test here how many mm-hmm. shares or likes? And I don't go into it thinking that, because I'm like, okay, can I stop now? And he's like, did I ask you to stop?
Yeah.
Like, what's making you want to? And I'm like, well, maybe it is because I feel like I don't want to do it if it's not adding value to anybody's right. world. Because if it's just me and you, it's adding value to mine and my journals. Mm-hmm. So you keep going ahead.
You keep going, yeah.
And you have no idea if anyone ever reads anything.
Nope.
And getting to the place being okay with that.
That's hard for me, too.
I just call it a typo in my blog.
And then
and I edit before the people, too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. No, I do the same thing, especially just with social media. Just knowing that when I post something, I catch myself, like, my first thought, like, I hope this gets, like, some likes and shares. And when it does, I'm like, so-and-so shared my blog. But I have to remember, like, that's not why I wrote it. And right. I go back to that.
Yeah, that at the end of the day, that it's a Jesus arrow.
And it's not wrong to be excited. That no. Like, oh, great. Like, they shared it and read it and messaged me. And
kind of makes you have that sense of me too. Like,
okay, it's the me too thing.
Somebody's
yes.
either walking through it or know somebody walking through it, and that they'll run to Jesus for themselves.
And I see it very much as like an affirmation. When I do get those like likes or shares or messages, that God is saying, okay, I'm being very kind to show you that someone read it and they liked it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted you to write this thing that I had you write.
It comes at exactly the right time.
It does.
He's like, just keep going. I haven't changed the trajectory. Mm-hmm. You haven't gotten a clear sign from me. So
just keep going.
I've heard before, just keep doing the last thing you know that he said to do.
Yep. Yeah, that's all you can do. All we have is the last thing he told us to do.
Back to the comparison of Christianity too, though. I have a small group of couples mm-hmm. that we all have children that are middle, high school, and college age. Mm-hmm. And the other night we were doing an Andy Stanley series, which is really good. It'll be in the show notes as well. It's like, what do you really, really want? And the underlying, what is meaningful versus what you think you want? And that sometimes getting past the immediate for the eternal.
That's good.
But the question, oftentimes I feel like we find ourselves answering, so what do you really, really want? And back when our kids were little, saying things like, what I really, really want is all of my children to love the Lord. Mm-hmm. But as a parent of older children, do you see the step that's missed in that? Like, yes, I want my... But he also has a calling and a purpose on that adult who has adult children.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So, but what do you really, really want?
Right.
Like, what... That God has a calling and a purpose on your life. And it was, yes, to have these children, but the children are his. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, okay, now you know your children love and are following the Lord. Now what? Well, the now what was always there. And just listening, going, you know, comparing adults our age, going, well, they've done all this and served the church in this way. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that, too, is getting into a rut going, well, I mean, they're always gone from their family. Like, you know, my ministry is my mm-hmm. family. And that's the thing. Yes,
that's good.
Your
it can go on the flip side.
It can go either way.
You can
where
compare
you all of a sudden
you're...
realize you've got this huddle of families going, well, you know, that mom's gone all the time. And
yep.
And we no one has any idea what the calling on each person's life is.
No.
Is that it, or the gifts or the talents. I mean, God and that person, it's a conversation between them. And we just need to be really careful not to sway either way. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they really let this ministry thing... I have
right.
a friend that's in ministry, and she is the most amazing human being on the face of the planet, and she is one of my examples of how she just locks eyes with him, mm-hmm. and some of the things that people have said to her face mm-hmm. about, you know, you are leaving your family too much, and I'm just like, oh my goodness,
what is
but
that?
How do they know you anything about
yeah.
your life? And they're just from the outside looking in. Now it's different. When you have someone that is so close to you and you've given that person permission.
Right.
Because we've got to have accountability.
Accountability,
we've got to have
yes.
the people that are saying, hey, something's out of line, out
yep.
of whack.
But for someone who doesn't know your life.
No.
What was it you that told me this? I might have read it. I might have heard it. So I can't remember names, but that's okay. But she was going on mission trips. I mean, she was in ministry. And someone was like, She started feeling bad about, well, I'm leaving my family. And God told her, your kids are not going to remember you staying at home. They're going to remember your obedience to me. Like, they're going to remember that you
If I want to raise my children to plunge head like into Jesus, whatever he says, and all they ever see me do is live through them, they're never going to see it in their parents. Again, it totally could be that you're not ever to do any of that.
Right.
I mean, we just can't look at other people and just compare. Can't.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get so sidetracked.
Yep. No, because in that lady I heard say that, maybe her obedience was to go to wherever she went on her mission trip, but my obedience might not be that. You know, I have to listen to my own.
And that's why it's all different, and we've talked about this, is that all of our hearts, yes, there are things that make your heart break, but for some reason, sometimes there's that one thing that crushes you, and they're all different, so that no cracks are left uncovered. And I was like, that's so good. Like, if we sat and compared to everybody, like, let's get on this bandwagon and that bandwagon, there'd be a lot of cracks uncovered.
Yeah.
Where his hands and feet are supposed to be.
Yeah. That's why we're all different. Yeah. Especially
Jesus.
In life and in church and wherever we are.
I often think if I could just keep that halo on,
yeah,
like dogs
the blinder.
Wear so they don't bite themselves.
Yeah.
But also, but others, like
yeah.
they can't destroy everything when they have their halos on.
Well, because that's exactly what comparison is. You're biting yourself and you're biting others.
Yeah.
Because
you're definitely not moving forward.
You're not moving forward. Yeah. You are either looking all around you and
you're treading water or we're going backwards. Because I can tell you plenty of times that I'm like, oh gosh, I think I just took 10 steps back.
Yeah. And that, I think that's why this was on my heart, because that is probably my like greatest struggle is comparison. So
we're going to help each other with that.
Yeah.
Help each other stay with our dog collars on, our
halos. Keep those collars.
Shouting towards Jesus.
And looking towards him. Because all you can do is, all dogs can do is either look straight or up when they have that on. So that's what we need to do.
Okay, we're going
to
finish with our question.
Yes. Okay. So first question is funny and cute. Who's your first crush?
First crush?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Gary Wunderlich.
Gary Wunderlich. What a name.
Wunderlich. Okay, his son actually is Gary Wunderlich also. And plays football at Ole Miss. And so he's the kicker. So every time I hear his name, I'm like, oh, first crush. And who was also a really great friend as time went on too. But he was. I can remember he was in my Sunday school class. And because we became such great friends and grew up together, now I don't think of him that way, but until you asked me that, I hadn't thought about him being my first crush.
Yeah, I know. I don't think about that.
Because he wasn't my first love, but he was
your
my first
crush
for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
My first crush was Bryant Ransom, and I still, like, I guess, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but we stayed friends, like, all through high school and college.
Actually, Scott McCarter was one, too. They were kind of
the same, yeah. Bryant
well,
was...
There were two of them that were my first crushes, and both became very good friends.
Yeah, Bryant was my first... Like in kindergarten. Like, the first boy I ever had a crush on. And that, like, I mean, we, like, went back and forth. It turned into him having a crush on me. And he would, like, still tell you to this day. Till he found his wife. I mean, and she's beautiful and he has two kids and they're wonderful. But he would, like, in high school, was like, if you ever break up with your boyfriend, let me know. I mean, in college, he was like, if you ever break up with your boyfriend, let me know. I mean, he would get
it's
me.
Like that movie, My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes, yes. He would get me presents for every holiday, flowers and teddy bears and huge, like, cards and stuff. I mean, he went over the top. I think he did that for a couple of other girls, too, so I wasn't, like, super special. But
there was a second grade one, too, because I found these diaries, and there was, I don't know who Randy is or this other Scott, but I was like, I love Scott and Randy, and I'm going to chase them until I can kiss them. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to chase them.
And then I kind of got poetic, and then I cut up some Christmas cards and glued pictures in there, too.
Lovely little kid journals. I love it.
Yes. Okay. Is that our only question for the day?
Well, we hope that you use this to propel yourself forward. Stop comparing.
Stay out of the comparison game.
Yeah.
Because it's a dangerous, ugly place that we have all been in.
Yes. And if you are doing that, make sure you have someone to talk to. Maybe from another generation.
Have somebody in your life that can ask the hard questions and tell you when you start seeing yourself get isolated, it's a red flag. When you, those people that are allowed in and you're not letting them in anymore. And I say that because I've been there.
Been there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want the people that know the truth
to ask me the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, connect with the next generation above you and coming behind you.
Yeah.
That's we have so much to learn from each other.
Love you guys.
Better together.
We will see you for episode 20 coming up very soon. And
we're getting closer to the wedding.
To the wedding, yeah. Yay. And I'll have a blog up soon on Christian comparison. I'll have that up today, so we'll put that in the show notes. Bye.
There is a secret kept for the ages. Precious truth kept quiet in his heart.